Welcome into the studio. It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We have a Leaf Hour edition of our program, a rare...
But why?
2 hours. Oh. It made us come back for a press conference. Yep. Brad Treliving, general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, addressed the media today for the first time since the Leafs were eliminated May 18th. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake Schultz, and Jen Rolnick. Wow, we've got an all-star lineup upstairs.
Yeah, first hour is Jen, second hour is Jake. So the thing I will say, though, we're on parish watch for Kipper because we were about to come into the studio, and he's like, I'm thirsty.
Yeah,
I'm going to drink this 25-year-old Coca-Cola. And I said, there's a water cooler right there, man. What are you doing? And he had a sip. Yeah.
So hold on for a second. So hold on for a second. I was cleaning out the basement. And my wife's like, get these out of here. Yeah. And I had these Coca-Cola bottles from All-Star 2000. With the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Right. So not like, oh, they're 25 years old. They're actually 25 years old.
I had no idea what to do with them. So I brought them into a dozen into the refrigerator outside our studio, and there was like two left.
Also, that's hilarious. That is hilarious that someone who didn't bring Coca-Cola bottles saw them in the fridge and was like, guess those are for me.
You know, it's awesome. That might explain the washroom smells that we have in the studio sometimes.
No. Oh. I'm sure it's fine. If anyone has any proof that I'm in danger, can you text the show 590-590?
25-year-old cola. Is it still good? Mythbusters. No.
And then Kipper's like, took one sip. He's like, oh, okay. Second one, he's like, oh, this is bad. This is really bad.
Now I'm a little nervous now because... within like 15 minutes, I've had a salami sandwich, two pieces of chocolate, and this Coca-Cola. I have a bit of a tummy ache right now, and I don't know where to point the finger at.
The juice is good, eh?
Is that where we're at?
I don't know where we're at.
Drinking Coca-Cola, and
we got
a two-hour show.
We're May 29th.
Quit wasting time.
Well, 2 o'clock. We've never started at 2 o'clock.
Have we not? I think we did a full year at 2 to 4.
No, I thought we were 3 to 5 our first year.
I think we were 3 to 5 our second year.
2 to 4?
2 to 4, then 3 to 5, then 4 to 6.
I'll text that.
We are jam-packed with guests as well. Luke Fox will join us, sportsnet.ca, covering the Toronto Maple Leafs. He did attend the press conference with Brad Treliving.
Yes.
At the top of the hour, Ed Jovanovski will join us, who covers the Panthers. He'll let us know exactly why he believes they're going to the Stanley Cup final for the third year in a row.
Yep, pretty good. You watched the Treliving presser?
I did.
Yep.
Yeah, between holes today.
Did you play?
I did play.
How did it tee off?
7:45 a.m.
Nice, you pulled the Sammy move. I go early too.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So had it on the Sportsnet Plus on my phone.
It is good.
Hit a couple shots, listened, followed along. So nice. Why don't we start there? You guys want a quick comment before we go into some Kippers Clippers?
Yeah. You know, overall thoughts on it, I guess, that Tree had lots to say. It was a long press conference. It was 50 minutes. I think he spoke for 15 or something before he took a question.
But a lot of it, you know, was... recapping, right?
It was a soliloquy off the top.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, for me personally, didn't do much for me.
Okay. Overall takeaways, I think the only thing we had a press conference about today was what's up with Marner and Tavares. What else was there really to say? Your decor is under contract till 2027. The goaltender's under contract for the next season. The players up front, you don't really know what you can do with anyone until you answer two questions. Like, you have no idea what you need to do until you know if you have Marner or Tavares, right? Mm. So the whole thing was, are you going to have these guys? And if not,
and he couldn't answer.
No.
Really couldn't answer it, but we'll get
to his credit, I don't think it's his fault he can't answer, but
we'll get some clips to read between the lines, Sammy.
Has anyone reached out to you about it or like asked your thoughts on it? Because it did seem, you know, anecdotally from some of the stuff I'm seeing on X and some of the people like that maybe they thought he did a pretty good job and then he was very forthcoming and like it was, you know, he spoke for 50 minutes. I really felt like it was just a pretty run-of-the-mill end-of-season thing. But the thing that it lacked for me, and this is probably on purpose, was emotion because of how long they waited. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel like, you know, you do the locker clean-out day and all the reporters down there, they're frothing at the mouth to get their clip. They're excited. Like, it's a big day, locker clean-out. Everybody wants to ask the tough questions or whatever. But the team that eliminated them is now through a round. Mm-hmm. They're done before you've even addressed the media. Like, it just felt like there was no real hardness about it. Like, it wasn't like it wasn't contentious at all.
Maybe it was on purpose then.
It had to have been. But don't you get
Shanahan
what I'm saying?
The thing is a wrench for sure. You know, like, he doesn't know his status necessarily for a bit.
But do you kind of feel what I'm saying? That it kind of lacked emotion.
But I think it depends how you feel about what he said about DNA. Mm-hmm. If you feel like he said nothing there and was just being like, yeah, we just got to change our DNA, then yeah, I could see where you're coming from. If you feel like what he said there meant we need to make changes to the actual people here, like we need different people, that's what he means by DNA.
All right, let's start there. Brad Treliving on DNA, clip one.
We've changed. We've changed a lot in the last 12 months. There will be change moving forward. That's just the nature of the business. No team comes back the same. We have to prepare. And not all change, might I add, is personnel. There'll be changes in personnel. I think we've changed a little bit. I talked about how we play. We've got to continue to change and evolve our mindset. And we've got to find a way to create the team, both between the years, personnel, to be our very best at the most critical moments. There's some DNA that has to change in our team. That's one thing that I found. If you keep getting to the same result, and that's not to dismiss a lot of the good that happened up into it, when you keep getting the same result, there's some DNA that needs to change.
Was there any follow-up after that?
There was. I believe Jonas Siegel followed up with the first question about DNA.
Okay.
How do you change DNA? What a DNA talk today. Clip two, please, Derek.
When it matters the most, you have to embrace it. You know? You have to embrace it. With all the things that are the challenges in front of you, good opponent, the stage, what's at stake, you've got to find a way to embrace that moment and ultimately succeed in it, right? The margins are thin. You know, the margins are really, really thin. And when I say that, it's not, I don't believe that you have to go and change 20 players, right? It's not always about that. It's what can we do to help our guys? What can we do to find guys that can help? If there is change that we need to make with the team, how do we bring people in that have a mindset like that? But it's those big moments of really embracing it, but finding a way, whatever that way is, to get through it and have success.
Yeah, that to me is just a lot of tap dancing around the original comment. And you know, it's not Brad's fault. If he's not getting pushed on some harder questions, then tap dance away.
What would you have considered a harder question?
What DNA are you talking about? Yeah. Let's start there.
Do you mean
how's your leadership DNA? You happy with it?
Culture stuff
does,
like
does
that.
Does that have to change?
You know,
like it's if I was Brad, I would have handled it the exact same way.
Yeah.
But if he's not getting pushed or being asked, I'll say it, tougher questions, then he gets to do the merry-go-round.
Yeah. You know, again, I do think that what he's being asked about DNA, it depends how you interpret that. Like, DNA is really hard to change. You know, you and he talks about mindset. I don't like mindset stuff. I don't like the way we play stuff, because that's what we've heard for years and years.
But he gets away with saying that because no one's pushing him harder,
right,
to say, okay, Brad, where are you on the mindset? Like, where was your mindset on when it mattered most? Is it DNA? Are you hiding behind DNA, or is it just a fancy way of saying we weren't good enough?
Well, this is the thing, though. Like, when you watch the Leafs go 7 games with Florida, but have the 2 games where they absolutely go comatose in games 5 and 7, to you, is that it's mindset? It's something that they need to work on between the ears? Or is it the people that are the way they are? Is it players? And you need different players. Is it, you know, can you take this same player group and go, we need to be calm in the big moments, and that's what it was. Like, to me, they weren't that close. They weren't mindset off.
That's exactly right.
Not when you're outscored 12-2 in your last 2 home games.
In your 2 biggest games of your quote-unquote Coors era.
Yeah.
You're outscored a combined 12-2.
So again, when I opened the show, I said, to me, it's about Marner and Tavares and not those moments, but it's about them, because are we talking about them going and finding different people so the mindset changes? Is that directly what we're talking about? I don't know what DNA means.
Yeah. I think
that would have been a very good follow-up question here. Is changing DNA meaning taking the actual DNA that you have out right, and bringing in new right, DNA?
Yeah.
Right? Are we talking about
right,
2 guys, 3 guys, 5 guys? Like, how many DNA changes do you need?
It's hard to change the people, the DNA of the people you have. It's hard. I guess it's possible, but it is a challenge to change an individual's DNA.
Yeah. I think, to me, DNA, like, because he did that in his preamble.
Means do not answer.
Means.
just dance around
that's
it.
That's great. Yeah. Dance, not answer.
Yeah.
It just feels like something that they sat around, had some meetings. Him and Pelly went to dinner and they're like, what's our buzzword going to be? And it's going to be DNA.
Yeah.
That's what it comes off as to me. It doesn't mean anything. It means absolutely nothing. Your biggest players are crap in the biggest games. And at the end of the day, that's what matters. Florida was better than you, no question, but they weren't that much better.
Yeah.
You can't lose 12-2 in those 2 big games combined. At the end of the day, like, DNA means nothing. Like, it's just the most ultimate one that everybody can put on the sportsnet.ca website. They need to change their DNA. It's up there, DNA, DNA, DNA. It means nothing, boys. It means nothing. It's the most meaningless thing I've ever heard. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, it's
so.
Like, oh, I wonder.
To his credit, I love what they've done here.
I wonder what DNA, yeah, I wonder what, you know, what's Sam Bennett's DNA look like? Because that's what they're looking for, and they're just going to try to overpay him. I don't know.
That's well said, Sam.
Sorry.
You don't necessarily have to go there yet. I mean, the conversation will evolve there, but I think.
Well, then what are you talking about? If you're not talking about that, are they going to hypnotize Matthews and Marner? Ooh, ooh. Like, be better now. You're better in big games. Ooh la la. It's isn't like, what are you doing?
Isn't that the old Ted ooh, Green?
Get the clock out.
Ted Green had a line.
Put it back and forth.
Ted Green, the assistant coach in Edmonton, one of the lesser players, got knocked out. And then Ted Green advised the athletic trainer, if he wakes up and he doesn't know who he is, tell him he's Wayne Gretzky.
That's funny.
That's a great line.
Right?
That's
same funny thing, right?
Well, that's kind of it. It's like you're not turning, you know, these guys into different humans.
Yeah. It's not like they're 21 years old.
To his,
they've been on the NHL for 9-10 years.
Yeah. To Treliv's credit, one thing I really like that he said in that press conference, is he said, I was here last year when we lost in game seven. I was here this year when we lost in game seven in the second round. And I know everything that happened before. He was I'm aware of everything that came before me.
Yes.
And for the first time, I was like, yes.
That was very, very refreshing to hear.
You have to know the journey.
Yes.
You have to be, to understand.
He's got a portion of the journey now. He's part of it now.
Yes.
He is.
Yes.
He got christened.
Yeah.
Right?
He like got christened. Like a boat with a bomb over the head.
He is now part of what Leaf fans have experienced under Brendan Shanahan for 11 years.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah. He got a piece of it. So, again, the DNA part for me is so tied into everything else that was questioned in these playoffs. And I'll tell you the one thing that bothered me the most this round too, and people can sit there and say, okay, they're better than Carolina. They would have shown better than Carolina. They came within a game. But it all kind of gets lumped into the last 11 years for me when the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs stands up there and explains to everybody why they lost is because they had passengers. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, that was, like, really bad.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Really bad.
Totally. I feel, in this market, under-discussed, quite frankly.
That is also DNA right there. Mm-hmm. That Austin Matthews said we had too many passengers.
Yeah.
And I don't know between either the media talking to the players or Austin or if anybody followed it up with Keith Pelley in his press conference, or did, maybe I was in between shots and I missed it.
There was no.
Was it ever brought up to Brad Treliving today as one of those questions of your captain said at the most critical time, and you did talk about critical moments, but at the most critical time, your team had passengers. Mm-hmm. Brad, how does that make you feel as a general manager when you hear your best player, highest paid player, tell the fans and the media that at the most critical time, you guys had passengers?
You know what I think is tough there, Kip, is I didn't like that either. To me, he's trying to say too many guys played bad. You know, we talked about, we had the Oilers, Gregor on yesterday talking about the Oilers.
But
they did, Kip. They did.
Of course they did.
But we talked about the Oilers yesterday. Troy Stetcher's excellent. And Kulak is fantastic. And you go through the list. Everyone is playing good. And I think he doesn't think he played good. But I think it's fair to be like, none of us played good. So, you know, maybe it's a phrasing.
It. Yeah. But nobody really said it.
Yeah.
Nobody says
that's,
it.
That's to me what passengers are. No one.
But then just say it. Yeah, just say it.
Yeah.
We didn't play well. We weren't good enough. We didn't play well.
Yeah. Well, it goes to a lot of what's wrong with that. Like, that comment is just like, feels like to me that when Matthews and Marner specifically address the media, they're both just trying to say whatever they can possibly say to get it done over with as fast as possible.
That has to change.
Without saying anything meaningful ever.
You can't.
And they just are like, mumble mouth, passengers, blah, blah, blah. We got to be better, this or that. Like, it's just like, they're trying to get
quick. Can't do it in this market.
I totally agree. But they've been doing it for 9 years.
It's possible they're quite bad at self-reflection.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah.
So, like, it's not a skill they have.
Yeah. Anyways.
Okay. But, like, that starts at the top.
Yeah.
Does it not?
Do you mean player top?
No, I'm talking about, like, just it's an organizational thing.
They need to grab them and be like, hey, just, you guys they, are responsible.
My suggestion would just be a little bit more honest. Mm-hmm. It would actually go a long way.
I actually think if you talk more and you're more honest, it's less shocking and people pick through what you said less often.
We know they're not superhuman. It's a very difficult thing. Like I said earlier this week, only one team gets to stand there and claim that they're champions, and then 31 others go, where did we go wrong? Mm-hmm. It's not easy, but you got to humanize it a little bit more.
Yeah, totally agree. And I've been saying that since the start. Like, it just, what it was.
It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. We're picking horses here. It's hard.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, for any of them to come out at media day and be like, hey, we really understand how upset our fans are about this, and we're sorry we couldn't get it done this time. you know how far that would go?
Did you see Eric Tulsky's tweets today, perchance?
No.
GM of the Carolina Hurricanes?
No.
It's like a six-part tweet about their fans. And about that's what it's all for and how much they appreciate them and how much effort and how much it burns. And
they don't take it for granted.
Right. It's a different market.
They don't take it for granted.
But they don't take it for granted.
Well, the thing is, it's like here, they all know, like everybody, Keith Pelley and everybody at MLSC, they all know that it'll be sold out. I'm sure people will be dying to buy tickets, all that stuff.
Yeah.
There, it's not given.
No, you're right.
So
yeah, there's definitely more incentive to work on that angle.
That's the part, though, that I think
they need to take a page out of that book.
In his press conference, talked about it.
He did.
The message needs to be a little bit, I don't know if it's clear, but less taking it for granted, as you put, Sammy.
Yeah.
So we do have the clip on contract offers for Mitch and Tavares.
Where sure, yeah. I mean, that was a hot button topic, right, Marner?
It's got to be. Do you want to start with just Marner on clip four? Let's just do Marner to start. Clip four.
We're in that process right now. I had a meeting with all the players individually. We do our exit meetings. Mitch and I had a discussion. It's emotional right now, right? And so my discussion with Mitch is let's all take a step back. Let's take a deep breath. I got to decompress a little bit. We probably got delayed. That's not the right word. With Brendan's situation, you know, that was a bit of a curveball that it took a couple days here to kind of get through. So we're going to meet as a staff. I'm going to be in touch with Mitch's representative and all of our players' representative and determine what's best, right? Now, Mitch has a say in this as well, right? So this isn't the world according to Brad. I think he's a great player. He's been a great player here. We'll have to see. We'll have to see how this all works. Can I think Mitch can succeed? Yes, I do. But as I said before, we've all got to kind of take a step back and look at, you know, we can't be rigid in our thought process of saying we can only do something one way. And like I said, he's got a say in the process. So again, another wordy answer to say we'll see. And same thing with John, you know, And really all of our UFAs, right? Really good players. I'm a huge John Tavares fan. Had a really good discussion with him. We gotta take a step back, meet with our group. How do we best move forward? What are the costs? What is all those things that go into a contract and everything else? And how does it fit within the puzzle? So we'll see how that happens over the course of the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting anything more or anything less. He's protecting himself. He's not tipping his hand. He's not sitting there going, we really want him back. We really want him back. I mean, he's not setting himself up either way. So whatever happens, it's as if he was prepared for it.
If you did want him back, Kip, and you went out there and said, we really want him back, that'd be pretty bad negotiating. You know, like that's not I don't think you want to go out in the media and say you really want him back if you were trying to negotiate.
The negotiating part, people are making way too big.
What do you mean?
Of it. Negotiating's not hard. The negotiation would be the easiest thing to do out of anything. The hard part is telling Mitch Marner or getting Mitch Marner to want to stay. That's the hard part, okay? And say what you will about how anyone has read the tea leaves between Mitch Marner and the Toronto Maple Leafs. As of yesterday, as of today, I don't know. But over the course of the season, it's been simply about a guy who, at this point, does not want to return to be a Toronto Maple Leaf. We've had this conversation over the past 4 years. Free agents don't wake up after the season is over and go, gee, where do I want to play? John Tavares made up his mind long before his season was over with the New York Islanders. UFAs have a pretty good idea all season long whether they're going to move or stay. Not many of them go the distance. They get re-signed. Tavares didn't. He moved on. Mitch hasn't. In all probability, he will move on. Yeah. It's not the negotiation, Sam. It's just going, do the Leafs want to go back to him and say, listen, I know up until now you have not wanted to sign here, but whatever, we'll fix it. We'll make it better. We'll put you in a position to help win. And that's not to completely take him off the hook and say, hey, Mitch, by the way, you know, score some more points in the playoffs. You and your buddies here, Boston and Willie and Morgan, be better. We need you better. That's not to say that that can't happen either, have that conversation, but Mitch doesn't want to sign here. Mm-hmm. Hey, just as of today, he doesn't want to. What, do you have a month to change his mind? That's the tricky part that they got to find out. How far do they want to go to him and say, Mitch, come on, man, we really want you back here. What's the problem? What can we do to fix it?
Well, I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, now the negotiation doesn't matter. Hasn't felt like that throughout the year, but it's nice to know that we're there now, if that is in fact the case. Could you imagine what a simpering, sad organization you would be, is after the way this has gone the whole time, gone, here's what we'll do for you. Here's what we can do to make this. It's just, to me, it's like a relationship. Your buddy gets together and breaks up and gets together and breaks up with a girl enough times. And you're like, it doesn't work. She's not that into you.
Or it can work, but I need to change.
Yeah, but okay? People don't change.
No, people do change.
People can change.
People do change.
I used to be.
Or you lose somebody.
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
Yeah. I just, you know, to me, Kip, it's like, he doesn't want to be here. Then it's just, it can't work. You're not going to change someone's mind with three phone calls and we're going to get you a better chef or a cooler line mate. Like,
See, I worry about that for the Leafs. And you can sit there and say it's just Mitch.
Yeah.
But here's a hometown guy who is the greatest hometown player in Maple Leaf history, fastest to score 700 points. And you can't get him to stay here.
But this only comes up when it's time for him to get his. Like, Tavares is, like, falling all over himself to give money back. You know, when he was doing his last contract, he wasn't giving money back to be in Toronto. It wasn't about that.
But this isn't about the money for Mitch. It was never about the money. And people thought it was about the money. Oh, he's just holding out for 13.
About the
13 and a half.
Schedule B bonuses 10 years later.
It's about respect, is what he said.
But it's about...
That people have never thought that he's as good as Matthews.
But if you're so hurt, the damage is done. Yeah. You're not fixing it.
See, I hate that. I hate that because...
What are they going to offer him that's going to change him?
I don't know. It's whatever issues he has, address them with him. I don't know what they are.
But it's just not about money. Yeah.
If they had issues with him, then like they should have tried to trade him a long time ago. You could have moved him. You could have said, listen, we're not a new GM. You could have put the reverse of, and Tree Living's had this experience with Matthew Tkachuk. Yeah. Matthew Tkachuk goes, I'm not signing here. You better move me. And he did.
But did Marner say that to him?
No, I'm saying that Brad, if they didn't want him back,
they could have said, we're not signing you.
Yeah, you can stay, but we are not going to sign you. Give us four teams. Give us a wish list. We'll try to move you.
Yeah.
We can get two first rounders and a prospect for you.
Do you think it's the best thing for the Leafs for him to come back?
I think there's a world where he can come back. They just can't all come back together.
You know what the situation is where I could see it? If you could get Morgan to waive his no trade and you didn't re-sign Tavares, I'd be down. But you have to make, those are fundamental core pieces.
I'm not coming back next year. I'm taking Morgan out of the equation. I'm not coming back here with Marner, Matthews, Nylander, or Tavares. One or two of them have to go for Mitch to stay.
To me, it's for Mitch to stay. Yeah. It needs to be Tavares and Riley. Like, you need a fundamental change here.
DNA, boys. No. Change DNA.
You want DNA? Mitch stays, and I get rid of either Matthews or Nylander.
Yeah, no. not doing that.
They're not going to do that. No. But to me, that is a major change.
That's DNA, baby.
That's DNA.
That is DNA.
Right?
That's absolutely DNA.
Yeah.
But he may pull a Rantanen and sign for $12 million and some state tax city and move on. And everybody's,
Vegas?
The one thing I'm confident of with Marner, wherever he signs, it's going to hurt the Leafs. I don't think he's going to go quietly to Utah and they'll be okay. Or he's going to go quietly and go play for, who's the other team here sometime?
Chicago.
Chicago. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. It'll be Florida.
Florida?
Yeah.
Or it'll be a contending team.
Yeah, you know.
Florida?
Buddy, they're losing Bennett Nekblad. They're going to have a pile of money.
Can you imagine?
Yes, I can.
That the Leafs signed Sam Bennett and the Florida Panthers signed Mitch Marner. Yeah. And then the Florida Panthers beat the Leafs with Mitch Marner in the lineup playing great and Sam Bennett playing like crap.
Yeah,
that would be the leafiest outcome.
I just
want
to go back to my original question. This isn't about Mitch Marner per se.
Okay.
But this is about an organization to go, okay, we just can't have guys leaving and wanting to leave here. Maybe we got to look in the mirror and say, what did we do? What can we do better? Mm-hmm. Part of the culture. Mitch doesn't like the culture here. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's another reason why he wants to leave.
But doesn't he's like, been a big part of setting it. He's a captain.
I know.
He's been here for 9 years.
Yeah, he's a huge part of the culture.
But it starts from up top. And if he had issues, did he address them in time? Did the Leafs find out only when it was too late? Mm-hmm. I just think there has to be more of a reflection on ownership, management, the people that have been in charge the last 11 years to say, did we give them the best chance to win?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's
you know,
all.
I don't think that this core really likes each other. Like, I don't think that Matthews and Marner and Nylander and I don't.
They're not tight.
No, I don't think.
Because they don't play tight.
No, I don't think that they really love each other. I think if you're Matthews, you'd probably prefer, even if he thinks John Tavares is a great guy, to not have the old captain like supervising your new captainly. Like, I do think that part of them is kind of hoping that something happens here where it's very different in the dressing room and the culture changes. I don't know that there's good vibes and positive memories and happy times. It's like some relationships just too far gone.
But it really started, you know, right back to the B bonuses. Why did he get his? I want mine. Oh, he didn't sign a max contract. I don't have to sign a max contract. We gave you the money. We gave you the term you wanted. You had everything you wanted. And yet it appears like nobody's happy.
Mm-hmm. It does appear that way.
Yeah, just like me talking about the Leafs. Not happy at all times. This is just a Leafs hour exclusive here, but you know, I just see these other teams that just like go out and it's just quiet. You know, like everybody's at Winnipeg, they're like, oh yeah. It's like no one's like, blow them up, get rid of everybody. It's like, it's just, you know, they just get to go out quietly out there. They're like, it's talked about a little bit in their market. We haven't mentioned them since they went out. Like, are we Jets talk? RIP. It's gone. No more Jets talk. And all we ever, it's just like every other market, they just go out quietly. And it's here, president's got to go. Star hometown player's got to go. Everybody's got to go. It's just, it's so frustrating being part of this sometimes. And listen, I'm right in the heart of it. I understand it. But it's just like, God, it's tiring. It is.
Yeah, maybe we're just not close enough to those markets. Maybe it's happening somewhere.
Sure, I'm sure they talk about it in Winnipeg. I'm sure they talk about Winnipeg once in a while.
Yeah.
But maybe.
Anyways,
maybe.
Nationally, it's not the same thing.
Matthew Nyes?
We should probably go.
All right. You're the producer.
We got to hit a break. We got to call Luke. So,
we'll ask him about Matthew Nyes. How about that?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Go ahead.
Yep. You got any announcements or anything?
No, let it rip.
All right. Luke Fox, NHL writer for Sportsnet.ca, regular contributor on our show, will join us. And then in the next hour, also Craig Simpson, Stanley Cup champion, Hockey Night in Canada, will help us tee up Dallas. Still got a shot, you think?
You know, the Hyman injury hurts quite a bit.
Okay.
So
plenty,
I'm not going to say none.
Plenty more on the Real Kipper and Bourne show on our special Leaf Hour edition. Back after these words.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
As a reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Let's welcome in Luke Fox, Leaf and NHL writer for Sportsnet.ca. He followed Brad Treliving's media address today. He spoke for the first time since May 18th. The Leafs were eliminated. Luke, how are you? Thanks for joining us. Between Game 7, I guess, and today, it's 11 days. So certainly a lot of time to let a lot of things settled here. Do you think it helped set the tone for Brad Treliving today, those 11 days off?
Yeah, because it's kind of a funny timing. I can't remember when a GM spoke after the next round was already over. Like, but, you know, it's far enough away from the pain of Game 7 that the emotions have passed. So he's not saying anything emotional when he takes the podium. And it's still far enough away from free agency where he can say, well, we're just starting to go through our process. We're meeting with our pro scouts. We're going to sit down and develop a plan. So it's kind of in that in-between stage. So he spoke for, because he did a scrum afterwards, he spoke for about 50 minutes. A lot of words were said. I don't know how much we learned. I think kind of the biggest thing I took away is some of the things he wasn't saying. Like, he wasn't saying, we got to keep banging at the door. We keep got to betting on these guys. I think Tavares and Marner are so tremendous that I'm going to do everything in my power to keep them here. He didn't say anything like that. He wouldn't even guarantee that he would offer them an extension on paper. And part of that, I think, is the accumulated losses 9 years now. And part of it is he only has so much say in the matter. Tavares and Marner have earned the right to take a little peek behind the curtain now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, listening to that press conference today, it did feel like in the end, it was just kind of about a couple of guys, right? And I guess your thoughts on his tone today, like we talked a little bit on our show about not hearing a ton about culture or leadership necessarily. What were your thoughts on his tone of the day?
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, yeah. It was pretty even. I like that he admitted that something in the DNA has to change. I like that he was specific in terms of Game 5 against the Senators. We seem to have forgotten that one. That was a missed opportunity because in the end they got it done in 6, so you kind of give Game 5 a pass. But I like how he brought that up and the fact that they basically laid an egg in that game at home. I like the fact that he pointed to Game 3. They're up 2-0 and 3-1, have a chance to take a stranglehold. And then, of course, you know, everyone felt Game 5 and Game 7. So I like how he singled out those moments. And the fact that there wasn't just one moment. You can't just sweep it under the rug and say, well, we didn't have it that night. No, there were multiple times where you had a chance to show the fan base and show the front office, show the decision maker, show Treliving that you have it within you to come through when the pressure's at its highest, when you have a chance to finish a team off, really put your boots to the opposition, and multiple times you didn't come through. So for him to say, oh, no, we'll learn from those scars, he didn't say that. He said, we have to change the DNA of our team. And that may seem a little vague, but I don't think it's vague. I think it has to do with personnel.
The sense is right now with Brendan Shanahan gone, Luke, and no replacement for Brendan, that as big as of a staff that the Maple Leafs have in the various departments, it's really feels like it's coming down to two guys carrying the weight of what happens next with the Leafs in just Brad Treliving and Craig Berube. Is that the sense that you got today?
Yeah, for sure. And I got it from Pelly's conference last week too. It was really interesting how much the CEO was talking about the head coach and how he liked the culture Berube set, and that he's going to really lean on Berube's counsel in addition to Trey Living's. It's rare to hear, you know, someone that high, that close to ownership, talk so much directly about how much he wants the head coach involved. And maybe that's a function of, you know, Pelle being a bit of a soccer guy, and you know, in over in Europe, you know, the head coach has a maybe a little bit more sway than maybe the NHL. But now there's a direct line. And today it was interesting, kind of Trey Living saying, I'm still got to develop that relationship, because, you know, I'm sure he had a nice, friendly relationship with Pelle, but most of his conversations would be through Shanahan. And then down to Berube, he probably wasn't working directly with Pelle all that much. And now that's his direct boss, a guy who didn't hire him. And Trey Living's on the clock here, right? He only has two more years left on his contract, and he's in a really tight spot. He's probably going to let his highest scorer, a guy who put up 102 points in the regular season, walk out the door for nothing. Maybe you can pull a Jake Guentzel and salvage a third round pick or something. But then you got to somehow make up all that scoring by committee, and in a pretty thin free agent class, when you've spent kind of some of your best trade chips already, you know, talking to scouts, they kind of say Easton Cowan would be better served having a year with the Marlies and not being jumping right up into the, with the big boys. So he's in a really tight summer, and all of a sudden all eyes are on him, just the way they were on Shanahan last season and Dubas the year before that.
It's funny. It doesn't take long around here, particularly when heartbreaking losses accumulate. Away from those couple of guys that we talked the most about, I did get the sense that he wanted a defenseman that can move the puck up the ice a little bit more. He talked a little bit more about volume coming from the back end. And he also talked about Matthew Nyes. Give us your thoughts on the non-Marner and the non-Tavares conversations that Trey Living had today.
Yeah, I'll start with Nyes. And, you know, he was very definitive in that I want this guy soon as possible.
Yeah.
And he used the old joke, and I've heard him say it before, the only two issues are money and term. But, you know, talking with Nyes all season long, like, the guy loves it here. He is, I mean, for the youngest guy on the team, he's like this close for me to wearing a letter. I love, you know, that Florida game, yeah, when in the regular season, when he called them out for being soft. And then the very next game in Tampa Bay, he was the best player on the ice. Like, I love that two game segment for Matthew Nyes. I was like, this guy is one of the most mature guys on the whole team. He's willing to call it like it is. And then he's willing to go out and back his words up. So When I talked to him, and he talks about his love for Toronto, and he, you know, he scoffed at a reporter's question about an offer sheet, I have no doubt they're going to get things, get something done. I think the big question is what works best is bridge or long term. And I think that will be impacted by who they chase in free agency, but they'll make it work. I wouldn't worry about Nyes. The defense is fascinating, Borny, because they have seven NHL level guys under contract already, if you include Philip Myers. And their defense was pretty good. But their defense is getting older. And it's funny, it's now become a little bit one note. There's a lot of toughness, a lot of size, a lot of guys willing to block shots. But, you know, they're not generating. You're not seeing guys. You don't see a Thomas Harley. You don't see a Evan Bouchard. And Morgan Riley lost a step, and I don't know if there's reason to believe he's going to find that step over the summer. So it is an area that Trey Living's going to look at, and he admitted to that. I just think there's so many holes up front that forward has to be the priority because they're losing bodies.
Morgan Riley has years left on his contract. He's also got a no move. Is there a sense that one of them may be moving that may have a no move clause or will have been asked by training camp?
It's a great question. I don't know the answer. All I know is that history tells us that the Maple Leafs don't make it that uncomfortable. And these guys, once they have their trade protection, they ride it out. And I believe Riley loves it here. Now, if you can present a scenario where work with the player where he's going someplace where he feels maybe he gets a fresh start, I think it's worth exploring. But right now, you know, last we talked to Morgan, he was like, oh, I'm not even thinking about that right now. You know, him and Tessa just recently bought a home. It might be a year old, might not even be. Like, he's just kind of settling roots, just had a baby less than a year ago. So I think it would be a tricky ask.
It's a tricky ask. I love those. It's a great defense system to getting traded, eh? Just, we really put down roots. We got a school pick. You know, as they head in towards next season, if they do lose Marner, let's say, and Tavares, you know, what do you expect here? How optimistic are you? Do you think it's Sam Bennett and change? You know, I don't even know what to think they would do given what's available as UFAs.
Yeah, there's not much. And the guys who are out there are going to get paid. Like, every team now has more cap space. Like, someone, it feels like someone's going to overpay for Nikolaj Ehlers. Someone's going to back up a Brinks truck at Brock Besser's house. Like, these guys are going to get paid. You know, Brock Nelson is going to get paid like a 2C when on a real contender, he's probably a 3C. No offense to the player. I just think, you know, he's kind of starting the downside of his prime. And Sam Bennett, like $8 million, I don't know. And Florida wants to keep him. Is he going to do the Sam Reinhart where he could have got a higher AAV if he put himself out to market? Or right after a parade, does he say, ah, yeah, it's pretty good. I get to wear flip-flops and we win championships. Maybe I'll just stay here.
Right.
So the options are really slim. I am very worried about their center depth. I thought Tavares got overmatched in the Florida series, as great as his regular season was. And now he's going to be a year older. He can still produce. He can still help a power play. But do you have a 1-2-3 up the middle that can win a cup? And you're looking at the free agent options. It's really tough. So I think he's going to have to get creative. And when I say that, maybe that means talking to guys about waiving no moves. Maybe that means some trades and not just free agency.
Going to be fascinating to watch. Luke, as always, thanks for your regular contributions on our show all season, man.
Appreciate you, bud.
All right. You guys had a great season. Keep it rolling till the end of the cup, I guess, right?
Yeah, you got it. Yep.
Luke Fox, everybody. Thanks, NHL writer for Sportsnet.ca. See, again, Brad Treliving wakes up today with the potential of 175 points out of his lineup. How do you replace them? The defense is solid with the contract still there, but none of them have the feeling that they could have a great year and produce 70 points next year for you.
No.
So that's missing. Yeah. And then you got to ask yourself, between Stolarz and Joseph Woll, are you going to get the same goaltending next year as you got this year? Is that a given now? That, like, how many games did Stolarz flat out, like, steal for the Leafs this year? How many points did he add to the Leafs?
20.
It's a huge number.
It's funny because he talked about how the way they play lends itself to that, like, you know, giving up a lot of volume.
But it didn't look so good in game 5 and game 7 when you needed it most.
Well, he wasn't playing because Sam Bennett took him out, like he tried to do with Fred.
Thanks, Tips.
Night.
I forgot that. Yeah. But it just wasn't there. Wasn't there. So is it a given that they're going to get the same type of goaltending? Like, when you factor in all these things that I just mentioned, is it a given that they'll make the playoffs next year?
It's not a given. Nothing's a given. No, it's not. But it's also, you know, you've tried it one way a lot. And I do want to push back on the idea. Everyone keeps saying 175 points. You're not trying to replace 175 points. Tavares isn't getting 75 points next year, I don't think. And we're not talking about the guys that whoever you bring in with, how much is that combined salary? $22 million? How many points are they going to get? Is it 150? You know, like, it's...
Don't know. It could be less.
It could be
a lot less.
It could be less. For sure it could be. But, you know...
Even if you sign Tavares, you're still, to your point, you're not maybe getting 75. He's a year older. He's maybe a little slower.
You know,
maybe, like, he's down to 58.
And people are talking about, oh, getting the Tanev thing to get more or lower AAV. So you're getting him years. It's like, stop.
Stop it.
Okay.
David.
All right, Sammy.
Yeah.
There's your Leaf Hour.
Great. So happy we did that. I feel so awesome.
You feel a lot better?
Oh, totally.
You're jacked for training camp.
You're freezing.
All right. We go national next. Talk about Florida. Talk about Dallas.
Sick Jays jersey giveaway this weekend. Gotta go.